Today is Thursday, April 4th, 2024. This is Quick Start from CBN News. I'm Dan Andros. Christians in Burma are fleeing as the government army hunts them down. We'll have that top story and more on today's podcast, where we bring you news from a Christian perspective. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. We'd appreciate it. You could also email us if you'd like to reach our inbox directly, quickstartpodcast@cbn.org. We'd love to hear from you and see what's on your mind. After all, we're here getting through the news of the cray with you each and every weekday morning, bright and early. And the triumvirate's back here today. Billy and Trey joining me to get through the news of the cray. And we got an update, Billy, on the revival efforts down at the southern border.
Yes, we do. And, you know, this is a fascinating story, revival on the border, what has been happening there. We're going to get into the incredible things and the amazing ways that prayer is changing lives there.
And Trey, on the main thing, you caught up with Ashley Bratcher.
Yeah, we talked to Ashley Bratcher about a recent film that she has that's heading over to Great American Pureflix, but more importantly about marriage and how to keep God at the center of it.
All right, looking forward to that conversation there on the main thing. And don't forget, if you haven't already, to subscribe to all of our CBN News podcasts, including DC Debrief with John Stolness. That's once a week on Fridays, new episodes, rounding up what's going on in Washington, D.C. And then, of course, Newsmakers with Billy, a full-length interview each and every weekday. Do not miss those podcasts. You can sign up in the links in the description of this podcast episode. And with that, we're going to head on over here to the news in 90 seconds. And people all over the country are making plans to watch solar eclipse that's coming on April 8th. It's pretty dramatic, said Dr. Daniel Kenefick, a physics professor at the University of Arkansas. He said a total solar eclipse is very unique because the moon, by a strange coincidence, happens to be the same apparent size in our skies as the sun. You'll be able to see it in eight major U.S. cities. They'll be in the path of totality. That's about 115 miles wide. And in Taiwan, the strongest earthquake in nearly 25 years has left 9 people dead, at least 934 injured. The quake was a 7.4 magnitude, and it rocked the island during the morning rush hour on Wednesday, damaging buildings and highways. Some dramatic images show buildings leaning at about a 45-degree angle after the earthquake. And in war-torn Asian nation of Myanmar, also known as Burma, the military government has escalated its brutal crackdown on ethnic minorities, unleashing airstrikes and artillery on Christian civilians. CBN News' Chuck Holton was there and joined with the Free Burma Rangers to go on a mission to help get these people out of harm's way. Those are just some of today's top headlines. You can check out those stories and more over at cbnnews.com. Hey guys, I'm going to put in this link in the description here to this video that Chuck did from Burma. And it's incredible because he's with the Free Burma Rangers. We've reported on them at CBN a lot. Dave Eubank and his team just do incredible stuff. If you have not watched the documentary featuring Dave Eubank, just go do it. You'll be better for doing it. Incredible human being. And he is, I mean, this video that I'm linking in here with Chuck, the Burma army is circling around with planes and with gunships, basically, and they're just strafing the ground with gunfire at these civilians who are trying to flee. It's just a crazy situation there. But Dave Eubanks is on the front line, as he always is, with help and with prayer. That's just who he is, and it's incredible stuff.
Yeah, it's always powerful when you get to talk with him and others like him, because you see just the sheer bravery that people have and you think, my goodness, I'm over here sipping my Starbucks and yeah, trying to, you know, live my life and complaining about silly things. And these people are giving up their life and comfort to go and help other people. And so it's convicting, but it's also inspiring to see that devotion play out.
For sure. It's definitely encouraging to see people using their time, their resources, their skill set to help people around you. And also a good reminder of the value of helping other people, right? That's our purpose here, is to spread the gospel. But often the best way to spread the gospel and tell people about Jesus is to go out and help meet their physical needs, because often that's the most immediate thing. It's like, how can you provide food for me? How can you get me to safety? How can you address this medical issue that I have going on? And then that opens the door for gospel conversations. So it's great to see people stepping out, being willing to put their time and even their life sometimes on the line for those around them.
Yeah. And we talk about it a lot on this podcast, having an eternal perspective. And Dave Eubank is, and his family and all the people that work on his team, he's a guy that absolutely has an eternal perspective. And it doesn't mean all of us have to go gallivanting around war zones. Dave's uniquely qualified for that. He was a special forces soldier in his earlier years in the United States military. And so he's uniquely qualified for that. But you can just see the heart behind what he's doing, that is the most important thing to him, to do exactly what you were just describing, Trey, helping people, meeting their needs in the most desperate of situations. And he does it with love, and he does it with truth too, of the gospel. And he's praying for people, he's bringing people to Christ through that effort, the efforts that he and his team are doing. So definitely be praying for Dave and people like Chuck who go over there to report these stories and show what he's doing, because it's very dangerous. And but I just love it. I'm inspired every time I see Dave and the things that he's doing with the Free Burma Rangers, because it does. It reminds you to have that eternal perspective, and it inspires you to do that. So again, I'll put that link in the podcast episode, the description of this episode, so you can check that out. All right, we're going to head over to our focus story now, and there is an effort to bring Christian revival to the U.S. border, and they are exceeding goals and expectations. So, Billy, what's going on here?
Yeah, this is a really interesting story. We've talked a little bit about it on the show, but for background, Pastor Tony Suarez is the creator of Revival on the Border. This was an effort that spanned in two separate chunks of time between March 21st and the 29th. There were a couple of days in El Paso, a couple of days in McAllen, where you had these big tent revival meetings that met nightly, and hundreds of people showed up. The idea was to plan this event with everything going on the border, and to hold the event and to bring people together with a focus on faith, with the belief that faith was going to be the thing that would heal this country, right? That would heal the border crisis. Of course, there are legislative things that need to happen, but Tony Suarez, who is a Pentecostal preacher, a really interesting guy, he believed that doing this was important. Since the laws aren't changing, we have to go to the border and show our faith and put our faith first. And so they put this out, did this event, and the impact numbers are still being tallied, but there were about 70 baptisms. And you might say, okay, 70, yeah, that's an interesting number. But there were 5,000 people. That was their goal. They wanted to reach 5,000 people in some form. They ended up reaching 9,000 people. So they shattered their goals with this event. And just incredible. I mean, they had 700 people showing up every night just at the McAllen, Texas event itself. So just really, really incredible. And there were some other pieces to this too. It wasn't just the tent meetings. They had a group called a prayer army that they sent out along the entire border, like the entire U.S. border, to pray in different cities and villages and towns, and to really not just like randomly, you know, benignly pray, to go out there and pray for peace, to cover the border in Jesus's name, as Tony Suarez said. So pretty incredible stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And what were some of the surprising happenings that's been going on around this?
Yeah, so they have said that, obviously I mentioned the baptisms, but they had all sorts of other life change events. When he talked about having 9,000 people who were reached in some way with the gospel, I mean, that's an incredible number, right? On the first night of one of the revival meetings, they needed 200 extra seats because there were 200 more people than they thought. So they were rushing in to bring extra seats as this was happening. Apparently, they claim there have been miraculous healings and all sorts of other things that have gone on in the midst of this. So there they are praying for the border, but they're having all of these other things happen. You know, he also said, and this is interesting, you know, we interviewed him. He said, given the national headlines, we assumed we were headed into a war zone and found it to be quite the opposite. And he said, that certainly is not meant to downplay the obvious crisis at the border, but to say there was a strong witness of the peace of God. One of the things that was pretty incredible, he talked about being overwhelmed at the receptiveness of the Border Patrol. He said a lot of the Border Patrol members were actually asking them to pray for them, this prayer army. They were saying, hey, can you pray with us and for us? And they were really impressed by what he called the strong faith of the Border Patrol agents. So that's just a piece of the puzzle. We've got a lot more over at CBN News and FaithWire as well.
Yeah, definitely interesting to hear that aspect of things for sure. He also said these events are not going to be over yet. So what's next?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, this 11-day span, all these things they did during this, he said, this is far from over. We are not done. We're already working on coming back and making an opportunity to a greater number of people that would like to join the prayer army. It sounds like, and again, this is based on our conversations with him, we don't have all the details, but it sounds like a lot of the interest, of course, you have the revival, the tent meetings, but a lot of the interest was in the prayer army, that group, that small group that was praying throughout the border, traveling. They handed out 300 Bibles. They preached in city parks. They did all this crazy, amazing stuff on the border, that there were a lot of people saying that they wanted to be a part of that or join in on that prayer movement across the border. So it sounds like it could be pretty soon that they're going to head back and do more of these events and more of that prayer army activity there.
Oh, that's really great. And honestly, it's sorely needed, because whatever you think should be done at the border, it almost, not that it doesn't matter, but whatever we do, it seems this crisis is not going away, right? You can lessen it, you know, whether it's building a wall or strengthening the rules or whatever the case might be. Yeah, you can do those things, but so many people are coming that this is going to be a problem for probably some time now. And when it comes down to that, you just have to think about, aside from our border policies and what we do there to try to control, because we know all the problems, we've reported on that many, many times about potential terrorists coming in, criminals, those sorts of things happen when your borders are not well secured. But a lot of these people are just regular people in desperate need. And we have to be praying for those people. And we do have to understand that God's arm is not too short to save. Where we think something looks not likely, that we have to trust God in the situation. It seems like Suarez is definitely doing that.
Again, it's inspirational. It makes you want to go out there and do the same thing.
To think about the fact that this is obviously a tricky issue, and it's something that people are really sorely divided on, unfortunately, because it is an emotional topic, right? You're dealing with people and real life situations on the border, on both sides of the border. But as Christians, our priority is salvation, right? Is people's hearts and whether they've surrendered to the Lord. So it's great when Christians can step into the fray and regardless of the politics of a situation, look and say, what's the gospel opportunity here? And it seems like Tony Suarez and those associated with him with this effort have done that. And I think that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. So another thing we can be praying for sure. Appreciate you putting that one on our radar today, Billy, and we are going to head on over to the main thing now. And Ashley Bratcher joined Trey to talk about her latest movie, Heading to Great American Pureflix, and how she and her husband have prioritized their marriage and kept God at the center of their family. That conversation is today's main thing.
Ashley Bratcher, you have a movie that's heading over to Great American Pureflix, Finding Faith. For people who might not have seen the movie yet, tell us a little bit about the film.
Finding Faith surrounds a woman named Victoria, who is a faith advice columnist who happens to be going through her own crisis of faith. So it's interesting to see her try to give other people advice on their journey and watch her go through so many challenges and obstacles that really test someone's faith. And there are things that I think people deal with on a daily basis. And she is someone who is struggling in her marriage. She's dealing with grief from the loss of a family member. Her career is taking off, or her husband's career is taking off in different directions. So no spoilers, but it is quite the trial, and people should definitely watch it to see how it comes together.
A lot of the films that you choose to star in are on topics that are really culturally relevant, right? People will know you from Unplanned, the story about Abby Johnson and her journey on leaving Planned Parenthood and becoming a pro-life activist. And then also in movies like this that deal with topics of relationships and marriage. So talk a little bit about how you go about selecting the roles that you want to be a part of.
Unplanned was a turning point in my career because I wanted to make sure that the roles I took on had purpose. I am a mother and a wife, and so it's really important to me to be able to balance and make sure that if I'm leaving my family for weeks at a time, then the movie really needs to mean something to me, and I want to be sure that it's going to impact people in a positive way. So when Finding Faith came across my desk, I think it had been almost 2 years since I had done a movie, and it resonated with me because there were so many people in my life who were struggling in their marriage or who had dealt with grief. We had just come through a really traumatic period in history where we had been through a pandemic, and everyone is kind of looking at what's important in life. And that is exactly what Victoria is doing throughout the script. She's assessing her priorities and where she's going to devote her time and if she's going to fight for the things that she loves, like her marriage. And so it felt like if even one person I cared about was going to be impacted by this story, then immediately it was worth it for me. And the feedback so far has been overwhelmingly supportive. I am so happy to see the feedback come in over the weekend where people are just reaching out and saying they were so moved by the movie. And that's exactly why I did it. And that's exactly why I will continue to choose projects that I think are going to impact people that way.
Yeah. You know, I want to talk a little bit about marriage because that's central to the storyline of Finding Faith. God's design for families is for a husband and a wife to be married and to raise children if they choose to have kids. Talk a little bit about your own marriage and maybe some of the things you drew on in this movie.
Well, I have been with my high school sweetheart for 20 years. This year will be 21 years. We've been married for 14 years. In just a couple of weeks. So we've been through a lot. We started our relationship when we were 16. We were still kids. And throughout our marriage, we've had to learn how to grow, to continue to grow as individuals and still grow together. And so there's definitely been points in our life where it seems like, just like in the movie, one of us has gone this direction and the other has gone this direction, or we've run parallel. And the design for marriage is that you don't do life alone, right? The design for marriage is that you lean on each other and you support each other and you find Jesus in the middle, because it's not always easy. And that is the glue a lot of times that keeps marriages together. It helps you remember how you're meant to serve each other, and that marriage is a lot of give and take. And that is also evident in the film. So for us, it's been a matter of learning how to fight well. What does fighting well look like? What is worth fighting for? What are the silly little battles that you just have to shake off sometimes? And iron sharpens iron, always. So your partner keeps it interesting and they hopefully bring out the best in you. And I obviously am still very much in love after 20 years. So we're doing something right.
Yeah. You know, how have y'all fought to make sure, obviously you said you need to fight for each other and of course learn to grow together instead of growing apart, which I think is something that's so interesting because it is, I mean, you're two individual people, right? So of course you're going to change and evolve as the years go on. And if you don't intentionally work to stay connected, it's easy to drift apart. So talk about how y'all have kept God central to your relationship and made sure that he is the glue that holds your relationship together.
When David and I first started dating, I would say that neither of us had really submitted our lives to the Lord. We weren't what I would call consistent Christians. We didn't really have that understanding of what love looks like through the lens of a biblical scope. And that was another area of growth for us. And I think it was when our son was born that we finally understood what love really looked like, because as a heavenly Father, God just loves us so much. And here on earth, being a parent, we looked at our child and we just thought, man, we really want the best for him. And we just love him beyond comprehension. So if that's true and we have a heavenly Father and a creator, then it just dawned on us. And we were like, wow, that kind of love exists. And how do we love each other like that? I mean, it's almost impossible to just completely love someone unconditionally. But Jesus is a prime example of how to go about that. And so when our son was born, we just said, okay, how do we work to have a marriage that puts Jesus at the center? how do we create an inescapable God awareness for our son? And how do we show him what a good marriage looks like, what real love looks like? And that was when we really started to, you know, turn to Jesus. We've had tons of trials. I mean, when you're together for 20 years, you can ask anyone who's been together for that long or longer. And a lot of times when you say, what kept you together? It's usually Jesus and humor, among other things. But that was something we really had to look at during hard times. We've had a lot of hard times in our marriage, and we finally gotten to a point where it's like, we're in this for the long haul. We committed, we said vows before God and our family, and we're in it.
All right. Appreciate that conversation there on The Main Thing. Trey, always good to catch up with Ashley Bratcher, you know, great actress, and of course from Unplanned, as you mentioned there. So appreciate her perspective and thoughts on marriage and parenting and faith. So great stuff there. All right. That's going to leave us with time here for one last thing.
We've got 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Yeah. I think that's a good reminder to keep our focus on eternity, right? It's good to be present in the here and now and to go about the mission God has for us. But to remember that at the end of the day, this is about the eternal kingdom.
Absolutely. The things here are fleeting, and they really are. I think it was Denzel Washington or somebody like that, maybe before him, said, you know, nobody's funeral. They got a U-Haul behind the hearse. Nobody's got that. This is all temporal, this stuff here. So focus on the eternal. All right, Lord willing, and that creek don't rise. We shall return tomorrow with more. God bless. We will see you then.